Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
And welcome to our favorite things.
It's Throwback Thursday.
I'm sorry.
We were going one-on-one, and then I ruined it.
I ruined it. Love means never
having to say I'm sorry.
So over the last couple of favorite things that we've done, Kevin, I feel jealous. I feel jealous that you have found all of these amazing YouTube clips.
Oh.
And I consider myself to be the king of YouTube.
It was just because of
that. And you have dethroned me.
Well, it was
just... Let me finish. Let me resign with some grace and dignity.
It was the Bette Midler one. That really did it.
It was the Bette Midler one.
Because a lot of people talked about that.
It wasn't even the Bette Midler one. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, so you haven't heard of One Rob. And then it was that share split screen. And then everyone told me, oh, you've never heard of that, Rob? Well, I'm sorry.
Because sometimes people shame a little bit. They're like, oh, you never did? Really?
I'm sorry. I was
You're a musical theater aficionado. And you-
I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm sitting here trying to scotch tape Helen Gallagher's interview to my computer. So I'm sorry. So I will let me resign with dignity, Kevin.
All right. Okay.
I felt like Michael Bennett felt watching Tommy Toon accept the Tony in 1982.
For nine?
This, yes. I was Dreamgirls. You were nine.
Oh, man.
The student surpassed the teacher.
Yeah.
But I'm back.
Thank you, Master Jedi.
I am back.
Okay.
And you will now have to be dethroned.
Oh!
Because I'm going to give you YouTube gold, my friend.
Oh, yes?
It is a television show.
Uh-oh.
Which has been posted onto YouTube.
Really?
I am ready, Kevin David Thomas. Are you ready, Kevin David Thomas?
Is it that cop one?
No.
Oh, man.
No. Kevin David Thomas.
Yes, Robert.
Are you familiar with Skip E. Lowe Looks at Hollywood?
What?
Thank you.
What
Thank
is this
you.
That you speaketh of? At last.
My right arm is complete again.
Oh, I was singing Bright Star, but okay.
Oh, I love Bright Star.
Oh, it's the best. It's my favorite musical right now.
I'm literally standing up to do a little victory lap because now I feel good. Now I feel like I'm back on my game. I'm punching the air like the Golden Boy overture.
Yeah, you are.
I'm ready. Okay. Don't swallow the mouthpiece, Joey.
Remember when Charles Strauss did that whole thing for us? That was pretty cool.
We interviewed Charles Strauss. I don't know if this is going to be posted before or after. We also had glitches with that one as well. We are just glitch galore, but that's okay. Charles.
At first he was like, wait, how did that go?
Yeah, Charles,
what was the opening?
I was like, Charles, I love the overture so much. And he's like,
I don't know.
Wait. He goes, I don't know. How did it go?
He was like, thanks. And then he was like, wait.
What is it? Overture?
But then he was like, oh,
the boxing
match. Yeah.
And he did the whole fucking overture in his armchair for us. And I'm like, this is amazing.
Crazy.
Skippy Lowe Looks at Hollywood.
Wait, what? What? You're jumping out of your seat. You're never
this.
You just praised Jesus with your hands.
You know Skippy Lowe.
Skippy Lowe?
Like Skip and then E as in middle initial E and then L-O-E. L-O-W-E.
Oh,
sorry. Jeez.
Like the movie theater. Got it.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Skippy Lowe looks at Hollywood. You know Skippy Lowe. You don't know him, though, as Skippy Lowe. You know him in popular culture because a very famous comedian based one of his characters on Skippy Lowe. Do you know Jiminy Glick?
Martin
Short character.
Yes, of course.
Jiminy Glick is Skippy Lowe.
Oh, yeah.
For our listeners, Skippy Lowe.
He had like the...
Yes, like a white, thoroughly modern Millie Bob cut. Like that's
yes.
It. Okay. For our listeners who aren't aware, Skippy Lowe hosted a public access television show out of Hollywood. But he has a reputation of being the worst interviewer that has ever lived.
No, to clarify, this is not Martin Short playing this guy. This is a real man.
This is a real man. Martin Short's Jiminy Glick, who you guys have seen. He wears the big Coke bottle glasses. Yeah. He's like 500 pounds.
So he's making fun of this character.
And he interviews people like this and he talks really low.
Yeah.
That is based on Skippy Lowe, who had a public access show.
It's like Starlight, the
just like Stairway to Stardom. But here's why I want us to watch, and this is why I'm applying it to Broadway people.
Oh my God.
Skip ELO interviewed old Broadway legends, including movie stars, that were like really on their way out.
Yeah.
So he interviewed, great interviews, by the way, with Anne Jeffries,
who did like Kiss Me, Kate. She did operetta, too.
Dolores Gray. There's a great interview with Dolores Gray. There's a great interview with John Raitt, Alice Ghostly. So he interviewed all of these wonderful people. But he is the worst interviewer you have ever seen in your life, and that's why Martin Short makes fun of him. So, like, for examples, he'll be like, so Alice Ghostly, tell me, what was it like being on Broadway in this show? And she's like, I wasn't in this show. And he goes, yes, but what was it like watching it? And she goes, I've never seen it. Yes. And then he like turns to someone else and asks a question. Or he'll be like, so tell me, Anne Jeffries, I heard that you and Cole Porter had a relationship. Never met Cole Porter. Yes, but didn't you like his music? I can't think of any. But the whole point is like he has no preparation whatsoever. The best.
Oh my gosh.
Here's the one I think you need to watch first, because I've never seen anything like this. He interviewed Ellen Green.
Oh, like Audrey, Little Shop of Horrors, amongst other things.
It's very clear that Ellen Green has been told, you're going to go on there and you're going to talk about the concert you're doing. She has a concert coming up. He asks her 90 million questions about Shelley Winters.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, oh, yeah. She's like, Shelley Winters, you know, she and I did a movie together. What was Shelley like? Well, you know, she was really nice to me and she was sweet. Did she sing on set? Yes, kind of, she did. And I'm going to be singing pretty soon at the Metropolitan. Yes. Did you see Shelley Winters in Catch a Thief? Boy, she's so good in that. And she's like, I think it's actually The Night of the Hunter. And yeah, she is very good in that. I love Shelley Winters. It's literally a 20-minute conversation on Shelley Winters. And if you watch Ellen Green's face, Ellen Green is looking at him going, this man is crazy.
Yeah.
What was it like working with Alfred Hitchcock? Which is a great question to ask somebody who's been on the set and directed by Alfred Hitchcock. And the person will start to answer, and he'll totally cut her off and go, I once saw Alfred Hitchcock eating at a restaurant. Big appetite. He had the steak. I like the steak there, but I prefer the chicken more. Now, tell me about Alfred Hitchcock. And by the time he's done talking, you hear the person talking in the background because the credits are rolling. Like they like the most, like the best answers are being answered while the credits are rolling. So it's called Skip ELO Looks at Hollywood. And like I said, the reason we should watch it is because when he does allow the people to talk, they've got these really fascinating stories. So like I said, there's Anne Jeffries, there's Ellen Green, there's a great one with Eartha Kitt.
It's a great opportunity to see these old legends, and regardless of the questions being. By the way, I'm also fascinated by this character that you're giving me right now. Like this whole, it's fascinating.
Well, yeah. My worst fear is that somebody's going to listen to one of our interviews and go, oh my God, they went to the Skip ELO School of Journalism. So tell me, Charles Strauss, what was it like working on Annie?
I love Annie.
I love Annie. I was up for the role of Daddy Warbucks. But the best is when he asked someone with all. Oh, the best question he ever asked somebody was, I think if I'm right, he was talking to somebody who was a friend of Marilyn Monroe, and he goes, after Marilyn Monroe killed herself, didn't she go back to Joe DiMaggio?
Like, mic drop. I mean, how do you even...
After she killed herself, did she go back to Joe DiMaggio?
Interesting.
That's an interesting question. Yeah. But the cool thing is he interviewed a lot of people who never really had a chance to sit down and talk about their career for a long time. Wow. Usually it was in regards to a project.
Right. Or it was like, oh, Broadway star, let's talk about the movies you made. Let's not talk about how you got to this place, which is why I feel like we are doing what we've done.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Hopefully we allow our guests to talk a little bit.
Oh, I hope so.
Skip ELO doesn't. And if you want to read a really good book,
dear God, don't tell me Skip ELO wrote it.
Oh, he did. He wrote his autobiography.
Oh, well, no, wait. Did he interrupt himself?
Every time you turn the page.
Yeah, he was like, I got to do
it. No, it's called Hollywood Gomorrah. And he was known as the boy with the Betty Grable legs, because he apparently had beautiful legs. And goes, all the boys wanted me. Even though I was gay and they were straight, I would blow many of the boys. And he lists in the book all of the men that he had sex with.
Wait, are you kidding me?
No, I'm being dead serious.
Even people that weren't even like
dead, you mean?
Or out. Dead. I mean, like,
no,
yeah.
No, he like goes into detail about people.
Oh, geez, and Skip.
But what also is really funny about it is it's like all the people that he's really best friends with that he used to pal around with all the time, they're all dead. So they really can't be like
that. Did not happen. You were actually the one that tagged along, and we actually
Skippy Low.
Yeah, you were like the cheerleader.
Yes,
that's sweet.
What would you want me to do all the interviews like that with people from now on?
What, like just like interrupt them in the middle of them answering a question?
I thought maybe you meant with the voice.
I like that voice a lot. I'm still trying to place it. If I'm looking at you funny, it's not because I lost a contact. It's because I'm trying to picture. This voice is—it's remind. It's not just like the plane, but there's something else to it.
But it's a little darker.
Yeah, it's like seedy and really. I enjoy it.
Is it Harvey Firestein?
I was gonna say Leroy Reams, but yeah, I think
it's not Leroy Reams. It's my new interview persona.
And when your glasses are on your head like Hal Prince,
look.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, listeners. We're gonna have a new persona. I hope you're okay with that.
We should name him.
What should he be called? Not we can't call him Skippy Low.
No.
My new stage name is Freddie Martinez. But my real birth name is Frederick Weissenbach.
Just made that up.
I grew up in Syracuse. My mother was a coal miner. My father was invisible.
I love the accent, too.
Well, thank you.
It's like you spent time in London.
No, I didn't. I was in the road company of Touch and Go. And we used to have wonderful diction lessons given to us by the great Kay Ballard.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
And Kay was a cut-up. She really was. She used to do this really funny thing every time we went out. I would look at her and I would go, Kay, how are you? And she's like, I don't know you. And even to this day, when I run into Kay, she says, I don't know who you are. I'm calling the police. And she is so committed to a joke, I actually have a restraining order against me from the great Kay Ballard. It's true. It's true. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't like to talk about the past. I'm more into contemporary things. And I should probably tell people if they want to come see my club act. What was my name? Freddie Martinez?
Yeah.
Freddie Martinez, just Martzies, where I sing all the great songs written by all the other great Martinez's in life.
The Martinez's?
Yes. And I drink a martini. Oh. You can come see me. I don't mind giving out my personal phone number on the air. Rochester 757. Once again, that's Rochester 757. Or you can give me a little voicemail at Susansa phone. That's where my service goes.
Susansa phone. I see what you did there.
Has to speak to Ella Peterson. Mm-hmm. She deals with all of my stuff. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
I rambled.
No. I love when you do your impersonations.
Impersonations is a whole new character.
This is a whole new... I know. I can't wait.
I would have danced in Starlight Express, but I busted my knee. I was in a road company of Irene with Charo.
It's an all Spanish.
I used to sing to her, you made me love you.
You made me.
I didn't want to do it. I believe in speaking on pitch, and sometimes pitch is ephemeral. I hope you read my autobiography. You can pick it up at Walden Books.
I'm watching the minutes tick by.
So am I, my friend. That's the name of my second review, which I'm doing at the Metropolitan Room.
I'm watching the minutes tick by.
I open up for Marilyn May. Oh. She is another cut-up. Oh. She also looks at me and goes, I don't know you. Get off this stage. And I go, Marilyn, you're a cut-up. She even hired men from the NYPD to arrest me and keep me in the slammer for 2 days, where I staged an experimental production of Men of La Mancha, in which Charo was also Alanda. Buy my pop-up autobiography at your local Walden Books. Even though it's been out of business for 20 years.
Oh my God.
Please come to Walden Books or buy my CD at Borders.
Thank you.
None of this will be in whatsoever.
No, I hope it all is.
How long was it? 17?
No, that's why.
This is longer than we talked to Lee Adams.
No, I... kids. I was like, we wonder why we don't have younger people listening. They're like, Kay, who, what? Kid. Who oh, are these people?
It's okay. I'll use somebody contemporary oh, for good. The young kids. Oh, good. Here
we kids. Go. Yeah.
Imogene Coca.
It's good. Keep it young.
Is that oh, my Mary God. Louise Wilson? She's an ingenue, you know. Oh. I need you to take me get a new suit. I have a gift card to Wanamaker's. I live in a rent-controlled refrigerator box on West End Avenue. Oh, my God. My neighbor is Dom DeLuise's son. I'm sorry. I don't mean to name drop.
You are out of control right now.
Is that a Helen?
With your, like, your, what's that? What's Robin Hood, the original old one? That was a womanizer?
Oh, Errol Flynn.
Yeah, you got your Errol Flynn mustache today. So I'm Errol like, Flynn I don't know how to take you right now.
I stood by for Errol Flynn. In 1947, in a production of Mr. Roberts, I played Mr. Oh, I'm sorry. That was at a bathhouse with Cesar Romero. I stood by for Jim Brochu when he played Mr. Babcock at the Broward Center Dinner Theater production of Auntie Mame.
Auntie Mame.
And do you know who played Auntie Mame in that production?
Who?
Do you know Meryl Streep? Yes. So did J.P. Morgan. She played Mame. We saw Out of Africa together. She was a great Mame. Vera Charles was played by Esther Roll from Good Times. Over your head. Vera Charles was played by... I'm going to think of a more obscure name for you. Oh. Isabel Sandler.
Oh, my God.
From The Jeffersons. Oh, Jean Stapleton from All in the Family.
That's a good one.
Ava Gabor was Little Patrick, and Zaza Gabor was Older Patrick. This was a revolutionary production directed by the then up-and-coming George C. Wolfe. I have nothing else
don't
to
stop.
Say. Well, I don't want to give away all of
don't
my
stop.
Autobiography, which, like I mentioned, is not only a pop-up book, but when we talk about my days at the Slammer, a scratch and sniff.
I also was going to say your mustache makes you look like that guy, that the black guy that hosts Family Feud.
My friend said that to me yesterday.
I literally closed my eyes and my eyelashes were like in the way. So there was like shadowing. And I, he just, Harvey something like.
Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey.
My friend said to me, he's like, has anyone ever told you you look like a white Steve Harvey?
You
do. Oh my
you
God.
You look like a white Steve Harvey.
Name something. You leave in your car.
So do that one now. Oh, my
God.
Did
you ever see on SNL when they used to do Dysfunctional Family Feud?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
And it was like, name something you find in your closet.
Totally.
My son.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
Oh, no, sorry. That was...
What's your favorite thing?
God, oh, we're doing that? I didn't know we were... doing this today.
Moscow.
But if I see you throw your glasses over,
I'm literally
time,
okay. I got my glasses on my bald head like Hal Prince.
Yeah.
And every time I move my head back, they
you
just
get excited
go
and you
off.
Throw them back. I wonder what Hal does when he gets excited. Throws his head down.
Throws his head down. Yeah. I would love to see Hal Prince in a rehearsal.
Yeah, I know. You ask that a lot, and I like that you always ask that question.
I always find that so fascinating because everyone says he's, I mean, he is so good.
Everyone's like, oh, his heart, he's so great. And you're always like, ah, oh, I want to see it.
Hal, show me.
I know. Show me, Hal.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com.
Great expectations.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Don't talk of love.
Good one. I have a favorite thing. I actually have a show. It's actually not my... The show is not my favorite thing. The score is my favorite thing.
Oh, really?
This was a show, another show that we lost in 2001 to 9/11, I want to say. Now, the show was not perfect. It was not perfect show. In fact, the critics were very adamant about that. Although one critic did say that it was a fabulous failure. But the score to me is done by someone who is so special. This man is in the news now because he's seen all the time. You see him all the time. He wrote the book, music, lyrics, and he orchestrated it. Now, what?
Of this show? Yes. 2001?
Yes. And the last time I can think of someone orchestrating their own, like really famous for orchestrating their own score, is Leroy Anderson doing Goldilocks. Leonard Bernstein did it sometimes, but this is fully orchestrated. You're going to know him because he's got his own daytime TV show right now, or evening show. He's got a host. He's a fabulous performer who's performed on the Broadway.
Not James Corden.
No. Although that'd be great. Can't wait for him to come back to Broadway.
Why is one doing a revival of Me and My Girl with James Corden?
Right?
Right?
Oh my gosh. That's really good.
Thank you.
Harry Connick Jr.
Oh, it's Thou Shalt Not.
Thou Shalt Not.
That's what I was going to say. I didn't know he had a daytime talk show.
Yeah, or like a nighttime show. He's got a talk show of some sort.
I was just talking about this in class with my students.
Really?
I swear to you, I
had to say that. Now, maybe it's because I was impressionable when it came out or something, but that music, it struck me. And I find it's very smart. I think he's a great writer of song. I think that he's a musical genius, I think.
God,
I think
yes.
That I'll never forget when I put on American Idol. I was flipping at my parents' house a couple years ago, and I flipped to him explaining what a ninth chord does. And now, to a non-musician, that means nothing. But if you say, like, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, but I'm ending on re, that's a ninth of a chord. And I just like that. And he made it seem so simple. And I personally, I used to teach at a school in Connecticut years ago called New Canaan, where he lives. And his daughter took from the school, and I was not teaching this class, but the head of the school was. And she said she was teaching from the piano. He came into class to see his daughter perform. He said to the teacher, he's like, "Hey, yeah, you want to teach not from the piano? I'll play the piano for class, and you can teach, so you don't have to teach from the piano."
Oh my!
So he sat down behind the piano and just accompanied class. You know, no questions asked. That kind of tells you kind of about who someone is a little bit. You know,
I think he's so talented and so wonderful and so charming. I was so bummed he didn't end up doing Nice Work If You Can Get It. Because remember, that was being a that was
totally
a vehicle for him.
And I'm bummed that he hasn't written another musical theater score. I think that he has the capacity to write theater music. I think that this was Plague. Susan Stroman was the director. It was a sort of a dance piece. As well as it's based on my French is not so great, but that play that what's her name was in,
Therese Raquin?
Yeah, it's based on that play. But a musicalized version that's set in New Orleans.
Yes.
So that's how you justify this completely jazzy New Orleans score.
With Norbert Leo Butts, right?
Norbert Leo Butts, that's right, and Craig Bierko and Kate Levering and Deborah Monk as well. But Norbert Leo Butts, actually, it closed after, 33 performances? And Norbert still got a Tony nomination for his part. And so did Harry Connick Jr. For the score.
You know, what we were talking about in class was, because we're now dealing with the early 21st century, which was, there were so many interesting musicals that because of 9/11, that because people did not want to see something so dark and cynical, they wanted escapism.
That's exactly right. The other function of theater.
Which is fine, which is shows like that and Sweet Smell of Success and a couple of others. Spitfire Grill, which we've talked about. They didn't necessarily get their due, per se.
Agreed.
So tell me more about Thou Shalt Not.
Oh, there were problems with the production. I didn't see it, but I read a lot about it, and I understand that there were some focus problems and all of that. But the score to me is what is so beautiful and was so fascinating, and it's great to hear these orchestrations and this big band sound. And also, they're just very tuneful. I find it a real fun show to listen to. But what I find interesting is that when Harry came to Broadway, it was 2005 with Pajama Game, where he played opposite Kelly O'Hara. When they released that album, they released a 2-CD album. So there was the original cast recording that Lincoln Center put out. I think it's a kind of a harder to find album, yeah, but you can get it. Yeah. But then a couple years later, when they did Pajama Game, they released another album of Thou Shalt Not, a separate CD with Kelly O'Hara singing the songs with Harry. Oh. So if there's any Kelly O'Hara fans out there, you can listen to her sing songs you probably never even knew that she sang with Harry Connick Jr. that are fun songs that are absolutely easy to listen to and fun to listen to. And you don't have to watch the show in order to get it. They're all, a lot of them are really up-tempo, fun, celebratory songs. It has a Mardi Gras kind of feel to it all.
Yeah.
I think it's just more people should listen to it.
I agree with you 110%. Yeah. I think there's a whole bunch from that era.
Yeah.
That need to come back.
Yeah, indeed. I would just, to Harry Connick Jr., write us another show, because I think that Broadway deserves your voice. I really do think so.
And I love watching him when he's on stage as well.
But, I think he's an amazing performer.
Pajama Game and
Pajama Game was amazing.
He was great in Pajama Game.
It was
Game.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And they had that moment in the second act when they go to Hernando's Hideaway, yeah, and they just roll his piano on stage, and every night he just plays something different on it. He would just jam on the piano, just jam because he can.
Why not? He has a daytime talk show.
I can't remember if it's daytime or evening, but he has a talk show now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, come back.
I know.
Star in it and write it and do everything.
Exactly.
And I didn't know he orchestrated.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That's so cool.
He's a smart music. He's a great actor. He's a great musician. He's a great singer. But he also does all the other stuff too. That's what I was a true artist.
And is willing to accompany.
Oh yeah.
His daughter's piano class.
Why not?
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think that's classic.
I don't know if you know this, but there's going to be a production of Thou Shalt Not, I think, in Chicago this summer.
That's great news.
Do you know who's going to be in it?
No.
Will be Linda Lavin.
Oh my God. And Freddie.
Candice Bergen.
Oh my God. Way to bring it right back.
And, of course, me, Freddie. I play Shall. Joyce DeWitt is not, and Thou is going to be played by Broadway legend Debbie Shapiro Gravitt.
Nice.
Debbie Shapiro Gravitt.
That's right.
Is that how you say her name?
I don't know.
I'm obsessed with that voice.
So good.
Her voice.
So good. That should be a favorite thing.
Her voice. She should be on the freaking show. She should be on the podcast.
Right.
We should get her.
Okay.
Okay. That, just that easy.
Right, yeah.
And calls us back and goes, no, that's still a minute longer than Lee Adams was on the phone with us, which I still think is pretty impressive.
Oh,
time to go. We wish us all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Bye, guys. Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
I dream the dream of days to come, where sponsorship is high and money is forthcoming.
That's beautiful, Kevin.
I really added a voice onto that one, too. I really was trying to go for something there.
Listeners, we love creating this podcast, but it does cost money. Please don't make me sell my Angel record.
Oh, my gosh, the original cast recording of Angel.
That, like, nobody has.
Nobody has it.
If you like what we are doing and want to keep doing more of it, please head over to patreon.com.
What?
That's patreon.com.
Patreon.
Patreon.
Yeah,
Patreon.
Rion.
Patreon.
Yeah, and once you're there, search for Behind the Curtain Broadway's Living Legends. And of course, we don't expect you to give without receiving some great rewards.
Such rewards include behind-the-scenes videos,
ooh,
shout-outs on future episodes,
ooh,
or episodes, depending on what part of the country you're from, because I said episodes, and early access to some of our podcasts. Hell, for the right price, Kevin and I will come to your apartment and act out all of Agnes of God.
So head over, friends, to patreon.com to help us out.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.